Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. You'd have to be living in a bubble not to know that the winter 2017-2018 flu season is a nasty, sucky one. We hear about it on the news, and we know about it from our sick friends and family. If you've been lucky enough to keep from coming down with one of these viruses, I congratulate you. But you might still be interested in today's readings, which cover a number of cold and flu-related topics. We will read about how to recognize five different types of cough and what you should do about them. There is a short quiz to find out how much you already know about these winter woes, and then lots of information about remedies and supplements for cold and flu. We begin today with a piece from AARP, the magazine, and this must have been December 2017, January 2018, titled Hack Your Cough, and this is written by Lisa Haney. When Steve Sontag started coughing in November 2000, he thought it was no big deal, probably a cold he'd picked up at the nursing home while visiting his mother, Natalie, who was 87. The Stockton, California teacher was 55 at the time, active, and other than the cough, in good health. The cough was constant, but he ignored it, assuming it would clear up on its own. As the winter wore on, though, it felt worse in his chest. When he couldn't catch his breath and his temperature shot up to 106 degrees, he finally went to the doctor. A CT scan revealed viral pneumonia and fluid buildup around Sontag's heart, and he was admitted to the hospital, STAT, written in red. The next day, a surgeon made an incision in his chest and inserted a tube to remove 12 ounces of fluid. Sontag spent 2 days in the intensive care unit and 21 more in the hospital after he also developed a blood clot in his leg. "I nearly died," he says. "The lesson? I should have gone to the doctor a lot earlier," Sontag, now 73, admits. Most of us come down with some kind of cough every winter, and over the years we've learned to live with this. But a cough that lasts more than 2 weeks or is accompanied by a high fever, shortness of breath, chest pain, or coughing up blood needs prompt attention, particularly during the winter months when influenza is rampant. With age, our immune defenses weaken and subtle physiological changes in our lungs make us more susceptible to illnesses. As you get older, it's more likely a winter cough is something bad, says David Boyther, MD, Chief Medical Information Officer at National Jewish Health in Denver, a leading respiratory hospital. After age 65, there's an increased risk for serious complications from the flu, such as pneumonia, heart inflammation, kidney failure, or sepsis. Up to 70% of people hospitalized for wintertime flus are 65 and older, and this age group suffers 85% of flu-related deaths, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yet, as Sontag's case shows, you can run into these problems at an even younger age. Today, Sontag advises friends to always wash their hands and even shower and change their clothes after visiting a hospital or nursing home where he thinks he picked up his bug. "It sounds extreme, though I believe it's helpful," he says. He's up to date on his pneumonia vaccines and gets the flu vaccine every year. "I never really considered getting any shots prior to this health emergency, but I'm a firm believer in them now," he adds. "Nobody should go through something like what I went through." In addition to those precautions, it helps to fully understand what your winter cough might mean and when to see a physician. This guide will help you figure out what you've got. And this is titled the column, What's Ailing You? Under the Weatherman, aka the Common Cold. What it feels like, a sore throat and runny nose, followed by up to 10 days of coughing and sneezing. It could be a common cold, basically a viral infection that spread through the air from shaking hands or by touching a surface such as a doorknob that has viruses on it, then touching your eyes, mouth, or nose. What to do? invent a cure, and become a billionaire. Short of that, get lots of rest and drink plenty of fluids. Over-the-counter medicines may soothe symptoms but won't shorten the sickness. Dr. Rotten Fever, aka the flu. What it feels like? A cough, dry or with clear phlegm, accompanied by a sudden high fever, chills, body ache, sore throat, fatigue, and general misery. It could be the flu. Influenza tends to come on like a truck, says Todd Astor, a pulmonologist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. What to do? Get thee to a doctor ASAP. If you start taking an antiviral medication, Tamiflu, within 48 hours, it shortens your misery by a day and may reduce your risk for serious complications. Lung Fui, aka pneumonia. What it feels like. A cough, often with yellow or green phlegm, accompanied by a fever, shaking chills, difficulty breathing, chest pain, weakness, and occasionally mental confusion. It could be pneumonia, an infection of one or both lungs that causes their air sacs to fill up with fluid. What to do? See your physician, who may take an X-ray and prescribe an antibiotic. Some types of pneumonia will put you in the hospital. Others, such as walking pneumonia, don't make you as sick. The Flemish Master, aka bronchitis. What it feels like. A cough, often with phlegm but not always, soreness in the chest and a fever. It could be bronchitis. This is what people often refer to as a chest cold. It's inflammation of the bronchial tubes. The airways of the lungs swell and produce mucus, making you cough. What to do? See your doctor, especially if you have a fever, who may take an X-ray to rule out pneumonia. Drink plenty of fluids and breathe in steam from a hot shower. Lastly, we have coccus interruptus, also known as pertussis. What it feels like. Uncontrollable, violent coughing that makes it hard to breathe, forcing you to inhale deeply, often making a whooping sound. Other signs include a runny nose and a low-grade fever. It could be whooping cough or pertussis, a highly contagious respiratory disease that's caused by bacteria that make your airways swell. What to do? See your physician for antibiotics ASAP. You won't get as sick if you start taking them in the first couple of weeks of having symptoms. And the rest of our readings today come from Consumer Reports, and all of these articles were written by Ginger Skinner. The first is titled How to Survive Cold and Flu Season, and this was published on November 30th, 2017. Consider this. More than 200 viruses cause the common cold, and hundreds of flu strains emerge each year. And those germs are everywhere. A sick person's cough or sneeze has millions of viral particles. A cough can expel droplets at speeds of about 50 miles per hour, a sneeze at more than 100 miles per hour, sending them 6 feet or farther. So it shouldn't be surprising that the average American adult catches 2 to 3 colds a year, and up to 20% of us get the flu, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yet, there's still no cure for either, which means the best we can hope for is relief. And in that quest for something, anything, to ease our aches and fevers, coughs, and stuffy noses, we're willing to shell out big bucks. $5.8 billion in 2016, according to Mintel, a market research group. But finding remedies that are safe and effective can be daunting. A Consumer Reports survey of 744 adults across the U.S. who recently had a cough, a cold, or the flu found that many people thought there were simply too many options. We should be happy, I guess, that we have so many choices, but it can be overwhelming, says Patty Sullivan, a cold sufferer from Pittsburgh. Some say severe, some cold and flu, and I don't necessarily know the difference. Yet only 23% of those in our survey asked a pharmacist for help. Consumer Reports advice? Don't be shy. Pharmacists can steer you to the safest products, factoring in your health and meds. Even some of Consumer Reports' secret shoppers had a tough time navigating the cold and flu aisle. We tasked 17 of them to explore pharmacies across the country. Though some stores they reported were organized by symptom, others seemed to have no organizing principle at all. Many shoppers searched in vain for single-ingredient remedies, those that target one symptom rather than a constellation, and are recommended because they're safer. Alternatives such as neti pots, which can ease symptoms without drugs, were often squirreled away on bottom shelves. Shoppers also told us they were sometimes confused by words on labels such as suppressant and expectorant. You're forced to sort those terms out, and that is before you would look at the active ingredients list, which has terms that I'm not qualified to understand, one shopper said. Seeing a doctor doesn't always simplify matters either. Many people, for example, expect antibiotics, though these drugs work only on bacterial infections, and the cold and flu are viral. Dealing with the cold and flu shouldn't be so complicated, says Marvin M. Lipman, MD, Consumer Reports' chief medical advisor. A number of simple steps can help, many that don't require drugs at all, he says. Our cold and flu survival guide identifies the home remedies that really work and when drugs are worthwhile, which to try and which to skip. And here now is the Consumer Reports quiz to see how much you really know about these winter woes. Number one, true or false, cold weather increases your risk of developing a cold or the flu. True. Flu viruses survive best when humidity is lowest, which usually means winter. And cold viruses may multiply more efficiently when temperatures in nasal cavities, in mice anyway, according to one 2015 study, go below 98.6%. Also, cold weather often forces us indoors into climate-controlled, low-humidity buildings and close to infected people. Number two, true or false, flu season usually peaks in February. True. Most flu cases usually appear in February, and the season often extends well into March, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. So, if you haven't yet gotten your flu shot this year, it's not too late. Number three, antibacterial soaps are a good way to prevent cold and flu germs from spreading. True or false? False. There's no evidence that antibacterial soaps work better than regular soap and water at preventing a cold or the flu. And overuse of these soaps may contribute to the spread of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. For that reason, the Food and Drug Administration ordered manufacturers to stop using 19 antibacterial agents, including the most common one, triclosan, in all soaps by September 2017. But manufacturers are still allowed to sell products with antibacterial compounds not on that list, such as chloroxylenol. Our experts say to be safe, you're better off sticking with regular soap and water. For hand hygiene on the go, the CDC recommends sanitizers with at least 60% alcohol, such as Germ-X and Purell, which are not known to pose the same risk. Number four, true or false, a person can spread a cold or the flu even before they show symptoms. True. Most people are contagious for a day or so before their symptoms become apparent. The risk of spreading the disease tends to diminish along with the symptoms, though you can be contagious for more than a week. So it's important to practice scrupulous hygiene during the whole cold and flu season, not just when you're around someone who looks or acts sick. Number five, you should always stay home from work if you have a cold, true or false. False. Staying home with a cold is a good idea if possible, but it's not as important as it is for the flu. For one thing, colds are less likely to trigger serious complications, so they don't require as many precautions. For another, colds aren't usually as severe, making it easier for you to maintain a normal schedule. The flu, on the other hand, is both more dangerous and more debilitating, which makes staying home essential for you and those around you. Here we have How to Soothe Miserable Cold and Flu Symptoms, and this was also published on November 30th, 2017. There are a lot of cold and flu meds on the market. Some work pretty well, others not so much. And most have side effects, even when taken short term. That's why it's usually a good bet to start with home remedies, which often provide relief and tend to be safer than drugs. And it's almost never a good idea to ask your doctor for antibiotics. Those drugs don't work against the cold or flu. Note that most drugs listed below are also available as lower-cost generic or store brands. The listed drugs are examples and are often multi-symptom products that contain several active ingredients. Aches and fever. Over-the-counter drugs, acetaminophen, Tylenol, ibuprofen, Advil, and naproxen, Aleve. How effective are they? All ease body aches and reduce fever. What are the risks? Acetaminophen is safe when used as directed, but taking even a little more than the daily mix can harm the liver. The other drugs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or NSAIDs, can cause intestinal bleeding and increase the risk of heart attack and kidney damage. What they interact with. Acetaminophen plus alcohol can threaten the liver. NSAIDs increase the risk of bleeding when taken with a blood thinner such as warfarin, Coumadin, or clopidogrel, Plavix. Home remedies. A cool compress or sponge bath. Either measure can help some if a temperature spikes and you don't have acetaminophen or other fever medication in your medicine cabinet. And note that it is okay to let a fever run its course if it stays under 101 degrees Fahrenheit. That's because the high temperature is part of the body's efforts to kill off the offending germs. Congestion. Over-the-counter drugs. Oxymetazoline nasal spray, known as Afrin, Dristan, Mucinex, Sinus Max nasal spray, and Vicks Sinex severe nasal spray. Phenylephrine, under the name Equate Congestion Sudafedrin PE nasal decongestant and Sudafed PE congestion. Pseudoephedrine, known as Sudafed 12-hour. Camphor, eucalyptus, or menthol rubs, marketed as mentholatum or Vicks VapoRub. How effective are they? The sprays work within minutes faster than pills. Topicals can improve the flow of air through your nasal passages. What are the risks? Topicals can irritate the skin. Sprays can worsen stuffiness if taken for longer than 3 days. Oral meds can raise blood pressure, cause insomnia, heartbeat abnormalities, tremors, anxiety, and hallucinations, and worsen glaucoma, thyroid disease, and symptoms of an enlarged prostate. What they can interact with. Oral drugs combined with older antidepressants such as isocarboxazid or Marplan and tranylcyclopromine or Parnate make side effects much more likely and they should not be taken together. Home remedies, chicken soup. Modern science provides some backup for chicken soup's reputation for easing congestion, coughs, and sore throats. Research suggests that it may inhibit the buildup of neutrophils, white blood cells that trigger the body's inflammatory response and contribute to the aches and pains that accompany a cold and the flu. And the hot liquid and steam from any soup that's mostly broth may help more directly by opening up swollen airways and thinning mucus. Neti pots and nasal irrigation. A saltwater rinse for your nasal passages eases congestion from allergies and could help when it stems from a cold or the flu too. There are two main forms. One squeezes saline into the nostrils from a squeeze bottle or bulb syringe. The other, a teapot-shaped device called a neti pot, uses gravity. Tilt your head sideways, then pour saline into the upper nostril. The liquid flows into one nasal cavity and out the other. To be safe, make sure you use distilled water or water that has been boiled, then cooled, and clean the device with distilled or boiled water after each use as well. Steam inhalation. Warm water vapor may help loosen mucus. Though it's unclear whether that translates into reduced congestion, many people swear by it. Showering may be safer than putting your head over a piping hot pot of water, which could scald. Cool mist humidifiers. The FDA says these devices can help shrink swelling in nasal passages and allow easier breathing, and the humidity can make it more difficult for flu viruses to survive. Just make sure to keep the device clean. Cough. Over-the-counter drugs, dextromethorphan, and that can be found in Robitussin long-acting cough gels or Vicks DayQuil cough, guaifenesin in Mucinex 12-hour and Tab-Tussin, topical rubs, patches, and lozenges that contain camphor or menthol, Hall's menthol cough drops, mentholatum, and Vicks Vapor Rub. How effective are they? Guaifenesin, an expectorant, thins mucus, making coughs more productive. Dextromethorphan, a suppressant, blocks the cough reflex. Vapors from topicals can feel soothing, but it's unclear whether any cough drug reduces episodes of coughing. What are the risks? Topicals can trigger rashes and a burning sensation. Oral drugs can lead to nausea and make you sleepy. High doses of dextromethorphan can cause rapid heartbeat, loss of coordination, and hallucinations. What they can interact with. Cough suppressants can cause increased sedation when taken with narcotics, sleeping pills, some antihistamines, or alcohol. Home remedies. Honey. It tastes good and feels soothing, and a 2014 review suggests that it's better than a placebo at easing coughs. Add a teaspoon or two to a cup of tea or consume it straight off the spoon. And don't worry, a little extra sugar when you're sick won't harm you. But one caution, honey can contain the bacterium Clostridium botulinum, which in rare cases can damage muscles and nerves in babies. So don't give it to infants younger than a year. Runny nose and sneezing. Over-the-counter drugs, antihistamines such as cetirizine, otherwise known as Zyrtec, chlorpheniramine, alachlor, diphenhydramine, found in Benadryl allergy, fexofenadine in Allegra, and loratadine in aloe vert or Claritin. How effective are they? Vary when symptoms stem from allergies, but a 2015 review of 18 trials concluded that drugs have little benefit when symptoms are from a cold. What are the risks? Drowsiness, nausea, blurred vision, and difficulty urinating, and with diphenhydramine, impaired coordination. What they can interact with? Taking chlorpheniramine or diphenhydramine with narcotics, sleeping pills, or alcohol makes sedation more likely. Taking cetirizine, fexofenadine, or loratadine with certain antifungals or antibiotics increases the risk of side effects. Antacids with aluminum or magnesium and grapefruit and certain other juices can make fexofenadine less effective. Home remedies. Honestly, there's not much you can do besides stocking up on tissues, but note that a runny nose and sneezing help rid your body of germs. If you find yourself without a tissue in hand, sneeze into your elbow so that the germs don't end up across the room infecting an innocent bystander. Sore throat, over-the-counter drugs. Pain relievers such as acetaminophen or Tylenol, ibuprofen, Advil, and naproxen, Aleve, benzocaine, Cepacol extra strength sore throat sugar-free, chloraseptic warming sore throat lozenges, diclonine is found in Sucrets sore throat lozenges, menthol in Hall's triple action soothing drops or Vicks Vapo drops, and phenol in chloraseptic sore throat spray. How effective are they? Pain relievers help. Benzocaine, diclonine, and phenol work as local anesthetics, and menthol provides a cooling sensation in your throat. Medicated lozenges may work longer than the sprays. The risks? High doses of benzocaine and diclonine might, in rare cases, cause lightheadedness, shortness of breath, fatigue, or rapid heart rate. For the risks of pain relievers, see OTC drugs for aches and fever. Home remedies? Gargling with salt water. It's inexpensive, safe, and time-tested. Dissolve half to one teaspoon of salt into an 8-ounce glass of warm water. Gargle in the back of the throat, then spit. Repeat a few times a day. We have time for a little bit of the truth about cold and flu supplements. And we will start. Americans spent almost $3 billion on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other supplements in their fights against colds and flu in 2016, according to the Nutrition Business Journal. But research showing that the products work is usually weak, and unlike drugs, the FDA doesn't require that supplements be proved safe and effective before they head to market. And you can't even be certain that they contain what their labels claim. Echinacea. Research says a 2014 review of 24 trials hinted that echinacea teas or supplements might help prevent colds. Is it safe? Echinacea can trigger nausea in some people and in some people worsen asthma. Consumer Reports take any hot tea can help soothe cold and flu symptoms, but it's probably not worth regularly taking echinacea supplements on the off chance that they might help prevent colds. Garlic. Research says garlic extract supplements might help prevent colds, according to a 2014 review. Is it safe? Frequent high doses may increase the risk of bleeding when combined with warfarin, Coumadin, and make HIV drugs less effective. Consumer Reports take no harm eating garlic, but do you really want to regularly pop garlic pills hoping they might ward off colds? Homeopathic remedies. Research says the theory behind these products, which usually bear the word homeopathic on their labels, is especially dubious. It involves taking a presumed active ingredient such as a silicoconin, an extract of wild duck heart and liver, and diluting it to the point that it's imperceptible. The Federal Trade Commission says that homeopathic product claims are not based on modern scientific methods, yet the products are often sold in stores alongside FDA-approved drugs. Consumer Reports take, don't bother. Probiotics. Research says good bacteria, best known to help foster a healthy gut, may also help prevent respiratory tract infections, according to a 2015 analysis. Is it safe? The pills can sometimes cause bloating and gas and may lead to infections in people with seriously weakened immune systems. Consumer Reports take, consuming yogurt and other probiotic-rich foods is fine, but there's not enough evidence to justify taking probiotic pills to fight colds or flu. And we finish up with vitamin C. You may have slightly shorter colds, but that only works if you take it before symptoms appear. Is it safe? Pills might make kidney stones more likely, and high doses can cause nausea and diarrhea. And we have to leave it there. I fully endorse honey and whiskey, but I thank you for tuning into Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.